Good morning.
Good morning.
Time to get started. It's a beautiful day, and I'm glad we could all come together. We will be beginning with a few verses. If you would all turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We'll be reading a few verses out of, starting in verse 23. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. Also, there were many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, speaking of Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for all the people's? For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Join me now, if you would, in bowing our heads in a word of prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We come before you, Father, once again, as you commanded, the first day of every week, to celebrate, memorialize, and show our love for your Son, Jesus the Christ, and for you, who he embodied in this world. He lived and taught, died and rose again, that we would be saved, because that was your plan from the very beginning. We thank you for being our Father and for giving us such a wondrous brother, high priest, and king as Christ Jesus. As we look into your word and our teacher comes before us to edify us and lift us up, let those words implant in our mind and grow our faith that we may better serve you, better worship you, and better show our love and thankfulness for all you've done for us, all you continue to do for us. We ask, Father, to watch over those who are traveling, Paul, Ladina, others we may not know, but please give them all safe travels and happy journeys, that they may return to us and once again share in your glory with us. These things we ask in your Son Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Okay. Before we begin this morning, let you in on some news. They had to carry it into emergency surgery early this morning for a perforated bowel. They did the surgery early. Barbara says the surgery is over. They will take her directly to ICU and monitor her closely for her dialysis and other health issues that she has. So we would certainly appreciate your prayers for her, and we'd like to do that right now if we could. Gracious Father, as we come before you, we know that you know our lives and what we need, and that you do look down upon us with your care, mercy, your tenderness for your creation. Father, right now we would lift up to you Sister Harriet, and we would ask your blessings to be with her, that she might be healed, and that you would comfort her, give her strength. Be with Kenny and Barbara and Rindy and Greg, rest of the family, as they care for her in the coming days. Father, we know that all these things are in your hand, and we leave them there at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's been a while since we were in class together, maybe 3 weeks or so. And at that time, we began a study of Titus. So, and we covered the first 9 verses in chapter 1. And so we'll take just a brief review of the first 9 verses, and then we'll continue on here in the letter to Titus. Paul had left Titus on the island of Crete, which was an island out in the Mediterranean below the Aegean Sea, rather small island. There were churches there. We don't know for sure when they were established. We don't really have any information about when they were started. Three possibilities. The apostles sent out on first chapter of Acts, maybe one of them went there. The apostle Paul was there at one time. And maybe others of the ones that were traveling about at this time with the apostle Paul. Looking at the map, maybe there's about 3 cities on the island of Crete. So Paul left Titus there. Titus, it appears, was probably a convert of the apostle Paul, was a Greek, and he was a trusted co-worker with the apostle Paul. Paul had good feelings about him. He said he was my true son in the faith. So the apostle Paul trusted him, and that's the reason he had left Titus there, to do the work on the island of Crete. And the main purpose there was to set in order with the churches the things that were lacking, that were wanting, and then to be able to appoint elders in every city. Paul, beginning here then, as he has tasked Titus to do this work, he gives them first the qualifications for the elders so that Titus would know, as he was doing the work, the men that were qualified for this work. And he gives him the qualifications, which we went over when we began this, so that Titus would know. So we take these qualifications that are given here in the verses 5 down through verse 9, and then if we combine them with the qualifications that are given over in Timothy, 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter, we have a good summary then of the qualifications for the eldership. So that's where we had gotten to last time we were together looking at these verses. So unless you have some questions or comments, we will go on with beginning in verse 10. Okay. Let us then consider verses 10 through 16, the end of the rest of the chapter. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So, excuse me? Titus chapter 1, verse 10. Through 16. Yes, sorry. Titus chapter 1, 10 through 16. Okay, as we read down through these things, it's somewhat difficult for us to imagine, but these people that Paul is writing about here were apparently in the church. They had been converted, but as we see, there's a lot of things going on with these folks that Paul wants Titus to be aware of and then to be able to correct the things that needs to be corrected in the churches among these people. One of the qualifications for elders was to be able to, by sound doctrine, to exhort and convict those that contradict the truth. And this was going to be a very important qualifications for the elders whenever Titus was able to appoint them at that time. As we read down through this, Paul says concerning the things that were said about the people here on Crete, that they were liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Paul said this is true. So Paul had been there. We know that he was there sometime on his travels to Rome. We don't know if he was back there again after he was released from prison or not. He may have been. But he had been there long enough to know that this thing that one of their poets said about the Cretans was true. That this was some of the things that they were guilty of. And Paul had received a report from somebody, apparently. We don't know if this was Titus or someone else, that these people were causing issues in the church. So there are many, he said, who profess Christ, but by their things that they were doing, they were not showing that they were truly converted. They were teaching many things that were not Christ-like. They were not truthful. They were divisive in the church. They were causing division. And Paul tells Titus what to do. Rebuke them sharply. And the desired result of that, Paul says, that they may be returned to the soundness of the faith. So the goal of Titus in rebuking them was to bring them back to the soundness of the faith. We know that not everyone in these churches were this way, because Paul says there will be men that can be appointed as qualified elders. So not all of them were this way. But there were many of them, and they were causing a lot of damage to the churches. Insubordinate, idle talkers, deceivers, especially among the Jews. And as we read through the letters of the Apostle Paul, we find many times that the Judaizing teachers were one of the main problems in the early church. And they did not want to leave the old law. And they were, not only that, they were trying to bind the old law on the early Christians as well. So Paul says they must be stopped. This can't continue in the church. Church will not be able to survive if they do. They lead whole households astray. They're teaching things that are not true, and many of them for the purpose of dishonest gain. So they were taking advantage of people dishonestly so that they might receive some kind of payment for it in some way. I don't know just how they were doing that, but in some way they were doing this for dishonest gain. We've already talked about the reputation that the Cretans had. And so he is hopeful that rebuking them strongly will have the effect of getting them back to the sound doctrine. They were not following the sound doctrine right now. He says, need to leave the Jewish fables, which the Judaizers would do sometimes, commandments of men. And isn't this always the issue? Commandments of men instead of the commandments of God. The Jewish agitators seem to be getting them to go back to the old law of clean and unclean animals. and what was required at that time. But Paul says the pure from the outside is not what is required now. The old law has passed, the law of clean and unclean animals and that were all on the outside. And Paul says now the pure is now from the inside. These, he says, are defiled. They are unbelieving. Their mind and conscience are defiled, and they are impure from the inside. They were professing to do God's work, but by their works they were denying God's law, and by their behavior they disqualified themselves from the good works that they were called to. And we talked about that in the beginning of this letter too, that Paul mentions good works several times in this short letter. So this is another thing he says: you're disqualified from the good work that you're called to do. We're all called to good works. So briefly through 9 through 16, your comments that you might have on that. Chris has the microphone. We'd certainly appreciate your comments if you have some. John.
Do we have any dating on this? Part of Paul's, one of his missionary journeys, I guess. But I'm thinking it would be maybe 20, if 30 years or less. And so these men, he's wanting to appoint elders. And these men, they could have to dig pretty deep to find qualified people because of the timing factor. I mean, today we've got such a history of church, it's easy to just look who might be qualified. But it just seems to me that he just had challenges with these people. And particularly with the Jews coming in and saying what they were saying, it's just always an uphill battle to try to get the church up and running where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Bless his heart.
Yeah. The on the day of Pentecost, there were Jews there from Crete. So some of them probably converted, went back there to Crete. But they had a difficult time of leaving the old law, which they had practiced for years. And so it's not an unusual to think that they would want to continue in that and not be able to leave that. But the only thing I've read on the timing of this letter would have been somewhere around 65 A.D. So it would have been more than 30 years after Pentecost.
The false teaching was not unique to Crete, as we see in some of his letters. But Paul wrote to the Romans, and he says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." So the Cretes were not unique, and I mean, besides being liars, as they are self-claimed to be. But that is a charge to us today, to know the truth, to stand by the truth, and to mark those that cause divisions contrary to the Scriptures.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. And Paul's going to tell Titus this too later on in this letter to those that are not willing to. A divisive man, he says in chapter 3, after the first and second admonition, to reject them. Well, give them a chance. Try to do what you can, best you can. Talk to them two or three times. But then if they won't repent or change, reject that person. Yeah, Jack.
Which would be an application of Matthew chapter 18, of how we are to correct a brother. Go to him privately. That doesn't work. Take two or three others to be witnesses and go again and a third time then take it to the church.
Yeah.
That disciplinary process is an educational process. It is not a vindictive process. It is to show a person how they have left Christ and to return them to us.
Very good. Thank you. Paul talks very harshly about these people in the church, but at the same time, he says, get them back if you can, that they might come back. Rebuke them. Tell them what's wrong, what they're doing. That's wrong, causing issues with the church. And get them back if you can. Yeah. Steve.
Yeah, I can't help but think, I can't help but see the similarities between message that's being written here about these island dwellers of Crete and the message that was written to those who received Timothy's second letter. Both of them, you might have some problems with these lazy Cretans on the island that's affecting their faith. It says they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. Paul writes the same thing, in 2 Timothy when he says they hold to a form of godliness, that they deny the power thereof. And remember that long, scathing accusations that are made there. I think they were written about the same time. So Paul is certainly dealing with, through Timothy, and we know that to be the case, through Timothy and through Titus, misbehavior among these churches. And I believe Ephesus to be where Timothy was working at the time where he received that second letter. So it's obvious that these Cretans aren't the only ones that are acting like Cretans, for sure. The problems are pretty universal, and it doesn't really matter whether you're on an island or on the mainland. The church had its problems, and the things that crept into the church were certainly things that had to be dealt with.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. I appreciate that. It was a common thing that the Apostle Paul ran into as he traveled preaching among the cities, and the Judaizing were always the ones that seemed like caused the most problems. They were the ones responsible for having him put in prison and eventually sent to Rome. It was the Jews that were responsible for that. So it was always an issue for him, and Timothy and Titus, two evangelists. And,
excuse me.
So, yeah.
I think we forget that it's like not just it was the name of the Jews. It was anyone who came in. This is second generation Christianity, and that it was the pure in heart. Is your heart seeking after what Christ said and modeled to do? In this case, it happens to be Judaizing teachers. However, it was also people of the Judeo faith, the original Jewish faith that were there in Crete. They'd been dispersed, and this was a whole new generation that was getting away from the concept of Christ and walking in Christ and his heart, and that you're already following these, not just the classroom rules, but that it's in your heart. And I love that he says here, but nothing is clean to those. So it's like the physical stuff, and the human things that we let get in our way that they were picking at. And that it's that we make sure that our hearts are seeking what is right and what is good as Christ would see it, not just the fact that it's, oh, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. Those daily things that pull us down.
Very good. Very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's he wants to bring them back to the sound doctrine. The doctrine of the apostles' doctrine, the doctrine that Paul had taught, that Titus, Timothy, other workers with the apostle Paul, the soundness of the apostles' doctrine, and that was the.
Bill, this is not just a first century issue, there are those today who claim to be Christians that insist on keeping the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah, the lesson for us today is the commandments of men and the commandments of God. I think that we can certainly apply that to today, that there are many following the commandments of men rather than the commandments of God. And that's the separation. Anyone else? Appreciate your comments. Very good.
Brother Paul, Bill. I had a thought when you brought up how there were those, well, whoever was teaching them in bad faith, be they Judaizers, people of other faith, or just pagans. The one thing that kept rolling around in my head is, why would you go back to trying to teach the old Jewish way, the Ten Commandments, and so on and so forth? Why would they bother when they hadn't paid heed to them, really, in centuries? And it comes down to one thing. Whoever's trying to lead these people astray, it comes down to the simple sin of, they do it for the most dishonest gain of all. Pride. They were leaders before. They were influential. But then the truth of Christ has come to the island of Crete, and it is starting to gain ground, and they can't stand that. So they have to try and fight it. They just don't know they can't win against the truth. I just think that's really interesting that you bring that up, is that they try and teach old ways because they were the arbiters of the old ways. And so they feel their power starting to be threatened, and they try and to infiltrate and destroy the faith by teaching false doctrine. And that's just fascinating to me. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Pride, many times, is the beginning of going astray. You lift it up with pride. You look for ways to elevate yourself rather than elevating God. Yeah.
We talk about the laws, but the laws were God-given. This is a time when Christ had already fulfilled them, but he still said that the first and greatest commandment was to love God and seek him with all your heart. What the people were bringing in were their traditions and forcing those traditions. So I think there's a separation. Follow the Ten Commandments, yes, because that was the heart of what Christ was teaching. You know, but he's also saying, have mercy. These folks were coming in on a different level and saying, you have to do this, this, and this. And I think that that's a universal thing with any group you walk into. You know, that they're going to do it a different way. But the bottom line is, how do you bring them about to a heart that says, put away things that, you know, speaking truth and not things that you've personally embellished on. That's why part of it, I think he goes back to some of the Greek literature that was there at the time and quotes it as part of this book. And but to say that it is the heart of Christ, and the Ten Commandments are, you know, Christ's teaching. He just did it better and was telling them it's not what you are doing on the outside. It's what you're doing on the inside. That's just an opinion.
Very good. It is. And the things that were commanded in the Ten Commandments, all of them except to keep the Sabbath, repeated in the New Testament, Christ's teaching. So all of those were good things. They are part of the old law, not the new law, but there are still good things to look at and to consider for us today. And so, yeah, go ahead, Jack.
I appreciate the comments. I really do. I was speaking to a cousin, and when I showed him that the law had been done away with or had been changed, Hebrews chapter 6 or chapter 9, then he said, great. I said, okay, what's your next phrase? He says, well, if if the law, which included thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit murder, if that is gone, then we have no law. But then we looked at Romans chapter 8, verse 1, about the law of Christ. And it is the law that is written within our hearts. It is our relationship to God, with God, that directs our steps.
Very good. Appreciate everybody's comments. It's better than listening to me all the time. So, okay. No more comments on these verses. We will move on to chapter 2. Let's look at the first 10 verses, say. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So Paul exhorts Titus to use the one thing that will refute the false teachers, and that is to speak and teach the sound doctrine of the word of truth. So that is a simple command from Paul to Titus, and it is one that really will cover everything Titus needs to do here on the island, isn't it? To be able to speak it, to be able to teach it, the sound doctrine of the word of truth. So anything that Titus needs to do while he is here, you can cover it in this. Look at the doctrine, the word of truth, and then proceed with your work based on those. You need to be able to speak it, not only know it, you need to be able to speak it, and you need to be able to teach it. Part of Titus' work here was to set in order the things that were lacking in the church. And that certainly would include teaching, to set in order the things that were lacking, the things that they needed strengthening of. And certainly some of the people that we just looked at certainly needed teaching and speaking the truth and the sound doctrine. That I'm sure they had received at one time here on the island, and Titus for sure, and he was then able to speak and to teach the sound doctrine of the word of truth. Comments on that first verse, and before we go on to the rest of them, do you have any comments on that verse? Then we'll go on to a, kind of a different subject. Okay, verses 2 through 6. We're going to see some instructions that were given to different people that made up the church. And the congregations that were there, he gives some instruction for the older men, the older women, the younger women, and the younger men. I'll let you decide where you are in that group of people. If you're older or younger, I'm not going to say where you fall in that. So you can make up your own mind as to where you fall in these instructions. But the older men, these were instruction that would guide these different groups, but certainly would be a general instructions for us to. We look at these. We can take these overall in the instructions that Paul wanted Titus to give here at this time, to set in order the things that were lacking. Specific teaching for each group. The older men, live in such a way that befits your age. Act your age, older men. Be sober, holy, temperate, sound in the faith, in love and patience. Good traits for all of us, isn't it? Good traits for all of us. But the older men in particular have a duty and an obligation to conduct themselves in a way that will be good examples for others, to help others as they can. And all of these things are important for older men and for all of us, of course, but that they be sober, you know, not be frivolous. The older men be holy, set apart, temperate. Temperate, the first part of that word is temper. So, be sound in the faith. You're now older. You've had many years of teaching and of following the commands. So be sound now in the faith and in love and in patience. So the older men were to have a moderating influence on others, something that they could do because of their experience that they had. So they could be a moderating influence over the rest of the congregation. So, likewise, he says, the older women, that they be holy in behavior, not slanderers, gossiping, not speaking evil or falsely of others, not given to much wine, not to be drunken, to be teachers of good things, primarily directed to the younger women. So, what more can you say about this when he says, teachers of good things? So important. Not to speak evil, especially falsely of others, gossiping, bearing false tales, person to person, not slanderers, don't slander people. These are all things that the older women need to do and not to do. Be holy in your behavior and be able to teach good things, and primarily directed to the younger women, that you might help them. And again, as the older men were a moderating influence in the church because of their experience and because of their teaching, the older women likewise be the same. And they can be teachers of primarily the things that they would have to the younger women. Teach the younger women that they love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, not making a show of things, be chaste, pure, taking care of the home, responsibilities, good and obedient to their husbands, that in all things the word of God not be spoken evil of, so that they, those that are in the world, can look at your behavior and see that you are behaving according to your calling, Christian calling. And he goes on and talks about the young men then, that they be sober-minded, they self-controlled in their daily living. Verses 7 and 8, Titus was probably in the category of the young men. We don't know for sure how old he was, but think maybe that he might be in the young men category or maybe in the middle age. I'm not sure where Titus would have fallen, but Paul says, you be an example of the kind of conduct that Paul wants the younger men especially to behave. In all of your activities, Titus, be a pattern of good works. Set the example in your teaching, your integrity, incorruptible. Not to be under the influence of false teachers, holy living, set apart for God, sound in speech, according to the sound doctrine of the word of truth, of the word of God. And also, I think he means to have sound speech in your everyday life, in your everyday speaking, with others in the world that you come in contact with. You have an obligation to them as well to conduct yourself and be sound in speech with them. And even, he says, any of those that oppose you, they will not be able to say anything evil of you that is truthful. They may say something evil of you, but it will not be true. So conduct yourself so that any that speak evil of you would not be truthful. So we'll pause right there, down through verse 8. Your comments, please.
Bill?
Yes?
Something I love about this is that of all the advice that he gives, all these different groups, older men, older women, young women, through all of them, it comes to me as like it's all the same lesson. You have responsibilities as a Christian, as a child of God. Live up to those responsibilities. Because he states in here that the older women should admonish the young men to love their husbands and to love their children. He doesn't give admonishments to what they should teach their children. Because if a Christian loves if a Christian man or woman loves their children, what are they going to teach them? They're going to teach them the right way. They'll teach them of Christ and his love and to have it in their heart. So all of this, I just find it beautiful that he's reminding them all, you have responsibilities. You know deep down what you need to do. And he's just saying, we just want you to do what is right by yourself. And doing that is what's right with God. Because like you point out, that people will lie about them, but that lie won't stick. The truth will shine through no matter what. Yeah. So just do what is right. Do what your responsibility in Christ is. And I can't think of anything else to say except that all will be right when you do that.
Very good. Thank you. This was all part of the setting in order of the churches. Yeah, Nina.
Speaking of order, I think that Paul tells them that the older men are to teach the older men and the older women are to teach the younger women. And the younger men are not to teach necessarily the younger women to keep themselves pure, because that could be a definite problem.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of just the order of things. We need to be careful in those.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. I appreciate that. And that's kind of what he says here. The sober-minded, you ought the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourselves to be a pattern of good works, integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Okay, I think we will conclude there. We are down to verse 8. Let's see, verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9 is where we will begin, Lord willing, next time we are together.